Well, good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. We're so glad to be able to be out and worship our God together today. What a sweet fellowship it is. Fellowship sweet. We sit at Jesus' feet. We walk by His side in the way and have Him with us even today as we commune with Him in the Lord's Supper and with one another. And as we worship He and our Heavenly Father now, what a great time to be together. Thank you again for being here. At the first of the year, our elders here at Eastside ask us to focus on prayer. They asked me to do a little extra preaching on prayer and for us to focus more on prayer in our worship services, in the songs that we sing, and in our daily lives. And certainly we've been trying to do that. I hope that your prayer life has been improved this year as a result of those efforts here at Eastside. And I want to continue that this morning as we look at a lesson about prayer that I've entitled The Comfort of Prayer. And we're going to start by reading Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. The psalmist says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." So here the psalmist is determined to pray, and he wants God to hear him and be with him and provide for him His loving providence, protection, care, and kindness. The psalmist says, "I'm going to cry to you from the end of the earth. When my heart is overwhelmed, when I need you, I'm going to cry to you." God, through those prayers, was going to comfort the psalmist, and He will comfort us today when we pray to Him in the right way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, Paul there describes God as the God of all comfort. And if you read that context, we won't take the time to do that right now, but if you look at that context, God is the God of all comfort, and one of the reasons for that is because He'd answered the Corinthians' prayers concerning Paul. He had comforted both them and Paul and others by answering those prayers. So what a wonderful, comforting God we have. And it is like going under the shelter of His wing when we have this relationship with Him in prayer. Birds of all kinds, especially larger birds, are in the habit of protecting their fledgling young by keeping them under their wings when danger is present. All kinds of birds do this. Geese and chickens and eagles and swans. And so you see the picture on the screen of a swan with several of her little fledgling chicks being protected under her wing. This symbolism is used a number of times in Scripture to describe God's care and protection of us. There's a song that we sing. It's number 701 in our books, "Walk Beside Me, O My Savior." And the second verse says, "When the noontide's glowing splendor brings its weight of toil and care, may thy love so pure and tender all my heavy burdens bear. In a weary land, provide me sheltering rock and cooling spring. When the tempest rages, hide me underneath thy folded wing." That's what the psalmist was asking for in Psalm 61. "I will trust in the shelter of your wings." That's what the end of verse 4 said. "I will trust in the shelter of your wings." I have been called a bird brain before, but it's still hard for me to imagine the life of birds. I try to imagine this. Think about being a chick, a fledgling bird, and something frightens you. Of course, I suppose if you're a fledgling bird, just about anything could frighten you. Maybe it's a predator. Maybe it's a clap of thunder. Whatever it is. And you're... mama bird is nearby and you run to her and underneath her wings for protection, and you feel completely sheltered and protected there. You feel comforted from whatever fear it is that's got a hold of you, from whatever it is that overwhelmed your heart. You feel that comfort. That's the comfort that we can have in prayer. That's the comfort that we should all of us have in prayer. But this morning, I think the reality is that some of us, maybe many of us, are not finding that comfort in prayer. And I can only speak from my own personal experience in my prayer life. But I feel that because we experience a lot of things in common as human beings, that probably my experiences are similar to yours. That there are times in my life when I have had my heart overwhelmed and I've been afraid, or there have been difficulties that I've been facing or needed to face, and I go to God in prayer and I just pour out my heart to Him, I think, but I come away actually more stressed than before. And instead of finding comfort in prayer, I find that it makes me more anxious, or has in times past made me more anxious. I don't know if you've had that experience or not, but I think it is probably a common experience among us. How can we find this comfort that we're supposed to find in prayer? This comfort that God has promised us, this protection underneath His wings. How can we get away from the concept of bringing our problems to God in prayer, bringing our needs to Him in prayer, only bringing them into sharper focus in our minds, but not giving us any solutions? This morning, I think, in my own experience and looking at what the Scriptures have to say, I've been able to find comfort in prayer more and more as I've matured as a Christian by five things that are spoken of in Scripture. We find comfort in prayer, first of all, by faith in God's presence, in His provisions, His protection, and His power. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says that he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, I think that's talking more than just about prayer in that passage. When you come to God for a relationship with Him, you've got to be a believer in Him. If you want to be rewarded by Him with eternity, you've got to be a believer in Him. That's just basic and fundamental. But when we come to God in prayer, the same principle certainly applies. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So the first thing I need, if I'm going to find comfort from my problems and anxieties and difficulties in life, when I come to God, I need to believe that He is really there, that He is present, and that He's powerful enough to answer my problems, to take care of me. And so I have to have faith in Him, in His power, in His willingness to protect me. In Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 12, the Lord says, "I, even I, am He who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the son of a man who will be made like grass? You forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth." You see, God is a comforter to us because He is, first of all, eternal. It's not like I'm turning to a man who's subject to death, who is not always going to be around. But God is eternal. He's always there. And He's all-powerful. He says, why should you be afraid of a man? Why should you even try to find comfort in man's help when I'm here? The almighty, eternal, all-powerful God who stretched the heavens, who created all that is. He is much more comforting than anybody could be. And to use another symbol in Psalm 23, of course, in verse 4, the psalmist there says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Here, our Lord is depicted as a shepherd who carries a rod and a staff. And I'm not sure that there's a great distinction to be made between the two, but some have suggested that the rod might include some sort of weapon to fight off predators with, and that sort of thing. But the idea is that God, as our shepherd, will protect us and care for us. This is what I'm calling on when I go to God in prayer. And surely if I have faith in Him, that He is there, that He is powerful, all powerful, and that whatever He provides for me will be sufficient, will be what I need, will take care of my problem, that He is perfectly capable of doing that. He will give me what it is that He sees that I need. It may not be the thing that I particularly ask for, but He knows what I need. He's all powerful. He cares about me, and He will give me the thing that I need. In 1 John chapter 5, John wrote in verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So whatever is according to the will of God, this all-powerful, present God, whatever is according to His will, He will grant me. I ought to be able to take comfort in that. The night that Jesus was betrayed, you remember, He went with His disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in Luke chapter 22 and verse 41, He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, the text says, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. And the text says that an angel appeared to Him from heaven, strengthening Him. Can I ask you this morning, what do you think Jesus wanted on that occasion? What did He want? Well, He prayed that this cup would pass from me. I take it to be the cup of pain, suffering, and anguish that He was going to have to go through in His trial and crucifixion on the cross, the miserable death that He had to die for the sins of mankind and all that was associated with that, the shame and the suffering. But more than that, He wanted God's will to be done. An angel actually appeared to Him, strengthening Him, if you will, providing Him with comfort. Do you believe, I do, that Jesus found comfort in this prayer? I believe He did. And yet He still had to go to the cross. So what I learned from that is that I have an all-powerful, all-loving Heavenly Father who is going to see that His will is done. And when I have put my life in His hands, in the end, that's all that matters. And that, my friends, is comforting. To know that His will be done with my life. I've done a lot of thinking this last year. I thought every day about dying. Every day. And I prayed many times, God's will be done. And I am comforted because I know that it will be. When you put your life in God's hands and you say, here's what I want, but Your will be done. It's okay. We find comfort in prayer through our faith. We find comfort in prayer through our fervency. If you go on in that text, you'll see that Jesus not only was praying in faith and full confidence in His Heavenly Father, but He was praying so very fervently. It says in Luke 22 and verse 44, the very next verse, being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. Can you even imagine? As earnestly as He was praying already, now He's praying more earnestly, and His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Just absolutely agonizing in this prayer. We know that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, James 5 and verse 16 says. What makes a prayer fervent? What makes a prayer fervent? What gets us really involved spiritually, emotionally, deep down, all the way to our toes in prayer? What's going to make a prayer fervent? You know what makes prayer fervent? Great need. In Psalm 40 and verse 1, the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. That's just one of many passages we could look at, but it's down when you're in that miry pit, that horrible pit, that terrible place in life, that prayer tends to be the most fervent, isn't it? If we could learn to pray with that kind of fervency all of the time, and not just when we're in dire need, not just when we're in the pit, I think we'd find comfort all of the time. God knows. God knows what's in your heart when you pray. God knows how much you mean it, how much you want it. But the thing is, you know it too. And when you're just praying out of, oh, it's just a habit, I'm not really into it, I'm not really even thinking about what I'm saying half the time, it's just, when you're praying like that, you're not going to come away with any comfort. If you don't mean it, when you ask God to help you, you're not going to come away expecting to be helped. Comfort depends on your fervency. It depends on your frequency. Jesus taught repeatedly that we need to constantly be in prayer. In Luke 18, of course, He speaks a parable about that to them, that men, He says, ought always to pray and not to lose heart. The parable that He tells there is that parable of that widow who wanted justice from a judge, but wouldn't get it at first, but then she just kept on going to him and wore him down, and because of her continual pleading, He gave her justice. God will similarly give us the things that we need, the things that help us in our lives, if we just keep asking, if we are frequent in our prayers. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, we're told to pray without ceasing. Have you ever had a relationship with somebody, and I don't know which end of it you might be on. I've been on both ends of this. I can remember in my life in various times, but had a relationship with somebody where the only time you ever see them or the only time they talk to you is when they want something. You ever been there? I can remember a young man in school, back in high school, and we'd been friends in grade school, but we just kind of, he stopped talking to me. But I'd see him in high school, and the only time he'd ever say anything to me was when he wanted to borrow money. I mean, that was it. And so it was, as the young people would say today, awkward, to say the least, I thought, for him to even talk to me. And like I said, I've been on both ends of those kinds of relationships over the years. And it's an awkward thing when the only time you talk to somebody is when you want something, or when you're in bad shape. And you don't really feel comfortable about that, do you? And so if we're trying to find comfort in prayer, it's something we need to do all of the time. This is a little bit simplistic and maybe a little bit corny, but I ran across this little poem this last week and thinking about this lesson. You ever see that ASAP, as soon as possible? And this poem changes that into, instead of as soon as possible, always say a prayer. Here's how it goes. There's work to do, deadlines to meet, you got no time to spare. But as you hurry and scurry, ASAP, always say a prayer. In the midst of family chaos, quality time is rare. Do your best, let God do the rest. ASAP, always say a prayer. It may seem like your worries are more than you can bear. Slow down, take a breather. ASAP, always say a prayer. God knows how stressful life is. He wants to ease your cares. And He'll respond to all your needs. ASAP, just always say a prayer. I think in our minds, if we change that ASAP from as soon as possible to always say a prayer, we would be much more comforted in our prayer lives. Comfort in prayer depends on our faith, our fervency, our frequency, and our frankness. We need to be entirely honest and open with God. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Peter tells us to cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Cast all your care upon Him. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now here's the promise that we have of being comforted in prayer. The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, but we have to give Him everything. You see, God can fix any broken life. He can take care of whatever the problems are. But you have to give Him all of the pieces. God can fix it. But you have to give Him everything. And I think sometimes in prayer what we do is we're not really frank with God. We're not really open and honest with Him about all that's going on in our lives, about all that we're concerned with. We pray prayers in general. Help me to be a better Christian. And then we think, well, I need to go to church more often. I'm not regular in my attendance, so God help me to do that. Do we mean that? But then do we go ahead and talk to Him about what the problems are in our hearts that keep us away from assemblies? Do we confess to Him really what the deal is? Do we ask Him to help us to want to come more? That's just a for instance. That's an example. What I'm saying to you is, be honest with God. For one thing, He knows already. There's no sense in holding anything back. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. He knows all about your needs, your shortcomings, and even your sins. Look at Psalm 139 in verse 1 through 4 with me. Psalm 139 verses 1 through 4. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. See, God knows everything about us. So we just might as well be honest with Him when we're talking with Him in prayer. Be completely frank and open with Him when we're talking with Him in prayer. And I think some of the time when we don't do that, we don't really come away feeling comforted and receiving comfort, because deep down in our hearts, we know that we haven't talked about the things that we really need to talk about. We haven't asked Him about the things that we really need to ask Him about. The Bible says that if our heart condemns us, 1 John 3 and verse 20, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. If you know you're not being honest with God in your heart when you talk to Him, He knows that. If your heart condemns you, if your heart finds no comfort, He knows why. If you go back to Psalm 38, listen to how David gets comfort when he seeks forgiveness for his sins that are greatly disturbing him. Psalm 38, verses 4 through 9. He says, "My iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. For my loins are full of inflammation. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart." Here is a man just pouring himself out to God. The reality of the sin that is troubling him, that is causing such misery in his life. He's letting God know all of that. The thing is, of course, that God already knew it. But He wants us to confess it. He wants us to bring it to Him. I read a story about a trial that occurred in a small town. A prosecuting attorney called the first witness, who was an elderly woman, to the stand. And he approached her and he asked her, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" And she responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you've cheated on your wife, you manipulate people. You talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot, but really you don't have the sense to realize that you'll never amount to anything but a two-bit lawyer. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was taken aback by all of that. And he didn't know what to do. He turned to the defense attorney and he said, "Well, do you know the defense attorney?" And she replied, "Well, of course I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster too. I used to babysit him. And he too has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, he's bigoted, he has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone. His law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." Just right there at that point, the judge wrapped his gavel and called the two lawyers up to the bench. And he said, "If either one of you ask her if she knows me, you're going to be held in contempt of court." Now, the point of all that is, God knows you inside and out. He knows a whole lot more about you than that elderly lady that used to babysit you. Be honest with Him. Be honest with Him. Tell Him what your fears really are. Tell Him what your problem really is. Tell Him what your sins are. He knows those things anyway. But if you're going to get comfort, you need to tell Him. It takes frankness. And when you're frank, in faith, in fervency, with frequency, what you're going to find is forgiveness. In Psalm 32, David writes in verse 1, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." You want to get comfort from God in your prayers. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. Go with me over to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. And we'd like to look just real briefly at a story that's familiar to us in Acts 8. Simon had been a sorcerer. Someone who really practiced evil magic arts, perhaps. but he'd been converted to Christianity. So he was trying to put all of that bad stuff that had been previous in his life behind him. But he sees Peter and John performing miracles and that they were able to pass on these miraculous abilities by laying their hands on people. And so we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, after Simon had offered money so he could buy that gift, that miraculous ability, to pass those gifts on, Peter said to him in verse 20, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." Now, what's implied in that is that you and your money are going to spend eternity in punishment if you don't straighten up. Your money perish with you, is basically what he says. It is what he says. He says, "You have neither part nor lot or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Simon needed comfort. He had just been told by an apostle, essentially, that you're doomed. You're headed for damnation. Because your heart's not right. Your spirit's not right. You're bound up in sin. But the apostle had also given him the solution to that. Repent, turn away from this sin, and pray that you'd be forgiven. Simon answers and says to Peter, verse 24, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." What was Simon looking for now? What was he looking for now? Comfort. Forgiveness. What a relief it must have been for him to pray a prayer and perhaps Peter to pray right there with him. We're not told what happens next. But what a relief and comfort it must have been to take those sins to God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." This morning, as we've thought about prayer together, God wants you. I've certainly tried to express this, but God wants you to get a lot of comfort, strength, and encouragement out of your prayer life. It's only when we pray in the way God wants us to pray that that's going to happen. It's only when we pray in faith, with great fervency, often, speaking boldly and frankly to the Lord, that we'll find the forgiveness and the help that we want. We sing another song sometimes, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." This morning, I may be talking to somebody who has problems in life, problems due to your sin. If you're a Christian, we've just read the instructions, what you need to do about that. Repent and pray that you might be forgiven. Confess those faults. There's something even this morning that you need to confess to this group. Have us to pray with you and for you. You will find comfort in that prayer as you find forgiveness from God. Whatever is going on in your life, God has the solution. Trust Him. Obey His will. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing. No longer.